passage to which I call your attention this morning is seeking to answer the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And there are many things we can say in answer to that question. My hope this morning is that we will all see, like the Apostle Peter did when he came face to face with the Son of God. And so we see in this particular passage the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself in a very unusual way to the Apostle Peter, and also commissioning him to become a fisher of men, to become one who was going to be the instrument used by God to bring many to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that it's impossible for anyone to remain neutral to that question. Who is Jesus? There must be a response from you. Today or at some point in your life, you have to answer that question. It's probably, perhaps I shouldn't even say probably, it's the most important question that you can ever face for as long as you are alive in this world. So then, let's begin our consideration of this particular passage by looking first and foremost at the introductory remarks or things that we find here in chapter 5. And then secondly, we look at the encounter itself. And then thirdly, we look at the response of the Apostle Peter and the other disciples. So read with me once again in Luke and chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. We are told there that numerous people, a multitude of people, were pressing in about the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the word of God. And he was standing by the lake. Now, perhaps the best way for us to be able to understand what's going on here is just to go back a little bit in chapter 4. And if you pick it up from verse 42, it says, now when it was day, he departed and went into the desert place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So the Lord Jesus Christ refused not to leave that place in Capernaum. You remember the last time that we considered Luke and chapter 4, that's what we were looking at. But then he went into this new place, and there were these many people that were pressing in around him, and the Lord Jesus Christ was eager to share the word of God with them, to teach them the truth about himself as the one whom was sent of God to be the redeemer of God's people. And so what he now begins to do here, we are told in verse 2, is that he saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So if you can imagine, picture in your mind, here is a group of people, and they are all very eager to listen to the preaching and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was not able to address them appropriately or properly because of the crowds. So what does he do? He decides, well, if I can sit in this boat, a little bit of a distance from the people, then I can be able to address them, and they should be able to hear me clearly, because there was a great multitude. And that's exactly what he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to preach, he begins to teach. And what is important for us, we are not told in this instant exactly what it is that he was teaching. But in verse 4, we are told, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And that is where we find the encounter that Simon Peter had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've never been a fisherman. I don't know if there are people around you who have fishing as a hobby. And the only things I know about fishing is stuff that you read and find out from what others have done. So if you do a little bit of research and study, you will discover that at this particular time, in the place in which the Apostle Peter and his friends lived, they were professional fishermen, right? That they actually used to fish at night. Because you notice here, this is in fact what the Simon Peter's answer, initial response was. He says, but Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. So what they used to do is that you would go fishing in the night, and then you let down your nets, and because it's dark, the fish cannot see the net, and then you can hope to catch something. And then he says, we have done this all night, and we caught nothing. But Simon Peter, because his own heart and his own conscience has been educated by faith and by his listening to his master, he says then, nevertheless, at your word, even though my own training and experience tells me it's not a good idea to be able to let down your net in the day, because the fish are going to see the net and they will avoid it. Even though my training and experience tells me that's not the right thing to do, but because you have said it, I will let down the net. And God was pleased to bless that obedience, because we are told in verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So right there, as a result of, or because of Peter's obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was an actual miracle that took place. It was something that was completely out of character. And this is exactly what a miracle is. A miracle is God working beside or beyond the means, sometimes against the means. And the usual way in which they would catch fish, as we have already said, was in the cover of darkness. And yet, right here, in this instance, during the day, they caught such a great catch of fish. And we are told the boats were about to sink. It was an outstanding miracle. A miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that immediately for Peter and for all those that were associated with Christ, they were able to understand that what happened there was nothing ordinary. It was something extraordinary that the Lord Jesus Christ performed a miracle right then and there. And what is interesting is Peter's response. We notice there in verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's very interesting. See, the response of Peter is not saying, "Wow, that's a great fish, a great catch of fish. How did you manage that?" His response, rather, is to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a new light. He, for the first time perhaps, begins to understand this is no ordinary religious teacher. This is no ordinary rabbi. This is, in fact, God come in the flesh. And Peter begins to have a sense that he is standing in the presence of Almighty God. And he recognizes something immediately, that in the presence of such a one as the Lord Jesus Christ, he clearly begins to see himself for what he truly is. And he acknowledges publicly before Christ and before all, he acknowledges his own sinfulness. He says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, this is very, very interesting, and this is probably the main point of this particular passage. It is this encounter that the Apostle Peter had with the Lord Jesus, that he comes to a recognition that Jesus is not just a preacher. Jesus is not just a rabbi or somebody who is teaching something religious about God. That this is indeed the one sent by God, the one representing God, and the one who is able to save me from my own sin. Now, that's a very important lesson, as we shall see. It's a very important lesson because notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says to him. He says there in verse, at the end of verse 10, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." You will catch men. Now, you see, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to Simon Peter is that in the same way in which the Lord Jesus Christ was working in this miracle for him to catch fish, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be working in the life of Peter, and rather than catching fish, he will be catching human beings. He will be a fisher of men. And when we now come to the book of Acts, this is in fact what we find the Apostle Peter is doing. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter is preaching, and we are told 3,000 people turning away from their sin, believing upon the Lord Jesus. He, in fact, in that moment, this particular promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter, that was fulfilled. The Apostle Peter became a fisher of men. It's as if the Lord Jesus Christ was giving him an example, using his own ordinary profession, and using that profession as a fisherman, he gives him a very vivid example, a lifelong reminder that in the same way in which the power of God was working as he let down the net to bring in the fish, that God had a higher plan for him. He had a higher ambition for him, that he was going to become a fisher of men. he was going to become a fisher of men by the power of God's grace working in his life. Just like God's power was manifested in this instance, the Apostle Peter catching fish, the power of God was going to be manifested in the life of the Apostle Peter by bringing many individuals to know God in Christ. So God's word was fulfilled in the life of the Apostle Peter. But we need to look at the encounter itself that we are told of here in Luke and chapter 5. That the first thing that the Apostle Peter, right now as Simon Peter, this is in fact, if you have been studying the New Testament, this is where the Apostle Peter, his profession changed once and forever. It is from this point, because we read at the end of that passage in verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him, following the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where his life became different. He no longer was a fisherman. He became a disciple, and shortly afterwards, he became an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, commissioned by God, commissioned by Christ to be a fisher of men. But before he became a fisher of men, he needed this particular encounter that we are talking about this morning. And the encounter he had is to answer the question, who is Jesus? Of course, this is something that as we have been reading through the Gospel of Luke, again and again reoccurs in the Gospel of Luke, that the Apostle Peter perhaps knew this is the one who has been sent by God. But there was something personal about his experience that we are reading in Luke and chapter 5. That although he had been hearing him preach, he had seen him perform various other miracles, there was something so personal and direct about this particular miracle that the Apostle Peter, his eyes was opened and he realized this is no mere teacher. This is no mere human being. This is God come in the flesh. And in the light of that realization, the Lord Jesus Christ reassures him and speaks to him and says, do not be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men. And the Apostle Peter and all his other partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, it says they forsook all. They left their livelihood. They left everything and committed themselves to following the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's then come and look closely at this experience of Peter and at this response of Peter. That Peter, when he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, there was this response from him that was elicited from his heart, confessing his own sinfulness and asking that the Lord Jesus Christ would depart from him. I just want us to spend the rest of our time this morning to look at that experience of Peter. Peter's eyes have been opened. He, perhaps for the very first time, has a deep conviction in his heart as to who Jesus Christ is. Now, the first thing I wanted you to notice, this is why we read from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, is to show you that this response that we find from the Apostle Peter is not unique. But this is something that many people in the Bible who have had an encounter with Almighty God, this is something that they have experienced. So if you will, turn with me to Isaiah and chapter 6, and we read that passage that we normally refer to as the call of Isaiah to be the prophet of God. In Isaiah and chapter 6, we are told that story that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah is speaking in the first person. He's giving us his experience. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And notice his response in verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It was a very personal experience that Isaiah saw something of Almighty God, as we are told there, seated on a throne high and lifted up. And in light of that particular experience, Isaiah became acutely aware of his own sinfulness as a human being. And he begins to confess his sin. Now, if you have your fingers here, you can still go back to Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus and chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. Now, the background in Exodus and chapter 20 is that God has come down on the mountain and he's speaking to the children of Israel. And if you come to chapter 20 and verse 18, we are told there now, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they say to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. That was the experience of the children of Israel in and around that mountain. That when they saw that sight, they were all trembling. And they begged Moses, you go and speak to God. We don't want to speak to God, lest we die. That was their encounter with Almighty God. Now, sometimes people have this wrong idea. They say, look, there's a difference between the God who we find in the Old Testament and the God that we find in the New Testament. In the New Testament, God is love and kind. So the kind of things that we see in the Old Testament and in Isaiah and in Exodus, we don't see those things anymore. Well, let's turn to Revelations and chapter 1 and see the experience of somebody who saw the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Revelations chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool and white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Now verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Isn't it amazing? These days we have so many people who claim to have seen Jesus, and their experience is anything but what we find in the Bible. And people tell us that they met Jesus and they were joking with him or they were talking with him. What we find in the scripture is that men are become acutely aware of his holiness, of his transcendence, and they become acutely aware how absolutely sinful they are, and they confess and ask for his pardon and cleansing. That is the experience of the Apostle Peter that we find in Luke chapter 5. That he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in a new light in this encounter. He saw that this is the sovereign ruler of the skies. This is the majestic God at whose beck and call are all creatures, including the fish of the sea. And at his beck and call, he didn't need for the cover of darkness of the night for the fish to get into that net. At his command, the fish, wherever they were, they came and found their way into that net. And Peter realizes that he is dealing here with God Almighty. And having recognized that, immediately he became aware of his own sinfulness. And I want to say to you that this particular spiritual encounter that we read of here about Peter is what we all need if we are going to be successful as fishers of men. It is a prerequisite that we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, not in terms of seeing a miracle, but becoming spiritually aware of our desperate need for pardon and cleansing from him. That is what is necessary and a prerequisite before the Lord Jesus Christ turns to him and says, do not be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will be fishers of men. So the question that comes to you this morning is, who is Jesus to you? And I want to say to you that that is not a question about which you can afford to be indifferent or to be non-committal. sooner or later, you have to come to an answer. And my prayer for you this morning is that you will come to the same answer that the Apostle Peter came to. That his eyes were opened to see in Jesus Christ of Nazareth the great and eternal God come in the flesh to save sinners like you and like me. And that is the reason why only he has the right to say to Peter, when Peter is alarmed because he is convicted of his own sinfulness, he is alarmed and he says to his Lord, depart from me because I am a sinner, I am a wicked man. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who has the right to say to him, do not be afraid, Peter. Why? Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can do what we cannot do for ourselves. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can undo the damage that we have done to ourselves because we have disobeyed God and his law. And so we need a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the one hand has fully obeyed and satisfied all the requirements of God. But at the same time, we need a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only has fully obeyed, but also has the ability to suffer in his own body all that which we must suffer and deserve at the hands of God because we have disobeyed him. And that is why he says to his servant Peter, do not be afraid. From now on, you will become a fisher of men. Have you encountered the Lord Jesus in your own personal life? Has the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to you as the only Savior of sinners? Have you placed all your confidence, all your hope in Jesus Christ and what he alone has done in dying for sinners as the only ground upon which God can accept you and welcome you and pardon you? This morning, you are confronted with that question. Who is Jesus to you? How has that question been answered in your life and experience? And have you, like Peter, been able to see clearly that you are dealing with Almighty God in Jesus Christ our Savior? So this morning, my friends, as we come to the end of 2018, this is the question that confronts us. As we stand at the brink of 2019, this, of all questions that you can grapple with, is the question that you must once again seek to answer in your own life and experience. And at the end of your life, when you stand before God, you will have to give an account of how you responded to the question, who is Jesus to you? We are told one day that the Lord Jesus Christ was walking with his disciples and he asked them that question, who do men say the Son of Man is? And the disciples say to him, some say Elijah. Or some say one of the prophets. And then he turns the question directly to them, but who do you say that I am? You remember that memorable answer that the Apostle Peter gave in that instance. it was because of this experience right here that he had seen not the miracle, not the fish. That is not what concerned him. It is the person who was being validated in his presence by that miracle that he was concerned about. And in that instance, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And I pray for you, my friend, that God might be pleased in this hour, in this day, to give you eyes to see Jesus for what he truly is, the Son of the living God, the only Messiah, the one who reconciles sinners to God. I confront you therefore this morning with that question that I began with. Who is Jesus to you? Have you answered that question satisfactorily? Is your conscience clear that, like Peter, you are leaning, you are trusting, you are resting, you are clinging to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one sent of God to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of God's people? As we shall see next week, we will see that after this, Peter, together with all the apostles, were prepared to leave everything in their lives and to follow this Jesus, to live for him, to serve him, to obey him, and to carry out his will as much as they could in their own lives. May God grant you that grace to see Jesus for what he is, and to live for him, and to honor him, and to be obedient to him. As he is granted to preserve your life in the coming new year, that this will be your one resolution: to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be obedient to Jesus, and to leave everything, and to give your life to Jesus Christ, who the Apostle Peter encountered. Now, here's my conclusion. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself particularly to Peter and the apostles, not only as a miracle worker, not only as a preacher, but he reveals himself as the true God, as the Messiah who has come from heaven into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Peter recognizes how desperate a sinner he is, and he confesses his sin. And ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to reassure him that he will be forgiven, that Jesus will transform his life, and in the purposes of God, he will send him to become a fisher of men. That's the passage. That's the lesson. Let us pray. Our Father, once again, we are grateful that you have reminded us of that all-important question in our lives. Grant us by your grace, like your servant the Apostle Peter and all the other apostles, that we might see in Jesus Christ our only hope for eternal life, and that we might flee to him, embrace him, and live our lives for his honor and for his glory. Hear us then, we pray, asking in his name. Amen.